Chapter 9.
Astral Influences. If we consider the behavior of nature-born mankind, bearing in mind that man is the most perfected of animals, and that we, too, are part of nature-born humanity, we are moved to ask how it is that we are gathered together in this school. Could it not be the case that we are simply engaging in another metaphysical speculation, different from that of the majority? Would it not be true to say that just as some belong to the Catholic Church and others to the Protestant Church, so we belong to an esoteric movement? Hermes answers this rather disconcerting question with the following words. It is possible to conceive a form of mental activity without direct sensory perception, like the images that present themselves in dreams. What does Hermes mean by this? When your personality enters the state of sleep, it is split into its physical aspect and a more subtle part. The subtle part takes with it a part of the consciousness, more especially the astral body. This astral body of the split personality then enters and participates in that part of the astral sphere which is in harmony with the state of being of the person concerned. Various impressions from this astral sphere are then etched into some of the mental centers of the material body. It is like this. During the night, while you are asleep, your personality is split and your astral vehicle is linked with the astral plane that corresponds with your state. Your mental centers are then charged via that link, just like a battery. And because the mentality and the senses form a unity, it is clear that in the morning when you wake up, there will be a sensory reaction to all those astral influences which have been transmitted to the mental organism. This, in principle, explains your interest in this school, your pupilship of this school. Initially, it was a mental and sensory urge caused by various astral influences that brought you to the spiritual school. In other words, you are sensitive to such astral influences, so if you chose to be a pupil, positively and from within, independently of others, this can be accounted for by the fact that certain astral influences to which you were sensitive led you to the school. Such sensitivity may have been the result of hereditary conditions originating from your parents or ancestors. In this case, the state of your blood or endocrine system would have been what made you open to these influences. Or you may have been karmically predisposed with a powerful concentration of gnostically directed influences present in your auric being and flowing into your personality. If such a karmic predisposition is combined with hereditary factors, these astral impulses will act forcefully, generally causing a powerful reaction early in the life of the person concerned. It may also be that a hereditary predisposition is present with a corresponding impulsive action, but that a karmic basis is lacking. Then there will be a reaction, but for the time being, it will be rather superficial. For a karmic basis is always the result of experience, and if there is, as yet, no experience, we know what the results are likely to be. Or it may be that there is a karmic basis, but no hereditary predisposition. In such cases, the body, the blood type, and the nerve fluid are not so suited for the expression of pupilship, although the karma still exerts a powerful influence on the body, on the personality. Such people generally have quite a difficult time. Usually, many long years pass before they are able to free themselves from hereditary influences. This may be the case until the 45th or 50th year for men and women alike. Such people often only enter the school when they are already rather advanced in years. You shouldn't make ivory towers of the astral impulses etched into the mental organism during sleep or of their possible results. For instance, you ought not to think of some call or message from the Brotherhood intended specially for you. Something like, "You are so excellent, so suitable, do please walk the path." It isn't at all like that. All kinds of radiations and influences make themselves felt in the astral sphere of the ordinary, natural life field. They vary from the lowest and most nefarious kind to the most select and serene. In the astral sphere of our nature, one encounters the most terrible things imaginable, but one may also come across the astral influences of the universal brotherhood. In the astral sphere, events take place earlier than they do in the material sphere. In the material sphere, things happen at a comparatively slow pace, while in the astral sphere, they are manifested much more quickly. In other words, anything that is developing at the moment in the astral sphere will only become concrete in the material sphere tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow, or even much later than that. That is why the astral sphere, the astral body, and astral influences generally set the tone in our lives. Astral influences drive us to realize in matter things that already exist in the astral sphere. As we said just now, influences from the universal Gnostic chain are also active in the astral sphere of this nature. These influences are distinguishable on every astral plane. So if a person is predisposed towards these astral influences of the Brotherhood, either by heredity or by karma, these influences can be etched into him, and in most cases there will be a reaction. For instance, the person may show an interest in the philosophy and literature of the School of the Rosy Cross. It may also be that someone reacts to such an extent that he or she straight away enters a school like ours. Why do you, as a pupil, absorb the influences of the Universal Brotherhood while another person does not? This is, as we have explained, a question of one's hereditary or karmic predisposition. And how has this predisposition come about? You already know the answer. Firstly, it happens if you react only on the basis of hereditary factors because of the multitude of bitter experiences of your parents and ancestors. If you expect everything from dialectics and are thus powerfully and positively orientated towards the horizontal plane, there will come a time in your life when everything slips through your fingers and a whole series of misfortunes afflicts you. When this happens, the astral influences which have motivated you until then will no longer satisfy you. In this way, a longing for something else will emerge within you. It may then happen that in the midst of this longing, the astral influence of the Gnosis will begin to speak within you. So if you are in the spiritual school on account of purely hereditary factors, you will be able to trace a certain causative pattern of behavior in the lives of your parents and ancestors. They will have drunk from the bitter cup of sorrow. Secondly, if your reaction is caused exclusively by karma, this karmic influence has been etched into your system because of the bitter experiences of predecessors in your microcosm. To a certain extent, these have become your own experiences, or at least a chain of events available to you in a very personal way. So for you too, it was drinking from the bitter cup of suffering through experiences that brought you here. And this applies to an even greater extent to the third type of pupil, who himself has had to drink deep draughts from that same cup. So, experiences of the first, second, or third type, or perhaps a combination of these, brought you to pupilship. Others, countless thousands, have not yet reached that point because, until now, the reactions of their senses during waking hours have led them in other directions. But there was, in fact, not the slightest difference between your initial state of being and theirs. Honesty compels us to say, when you joined the school, it was more often than not the result of mere metaphysical speculation. Generally speaking, what is the situation with someone who comes to the spiritual school of the Rosy Cross? He is looking for peace, for safety. He is searching for a solution to his complicated state of life. He seeks rest, and when it comes to it, he too is an animal in search of protection. His instincts drove him in this direction because of an astral impulse. The hunted down, tired, or defeated animal seeks safety in the temple of the Gnosis. Perception takes place in bomb the physical and the astral bodies, says Hermes. As soon as the two components of perception have become one, thought, called forth in the mind, is given voice by means of the consciousness. What will happen then, one might ask, when the tired, defeated human animal enters the temple? And what will happen when it has been refreshed to a certain extent? The human animal will then have adapted itself to its new surroundings and will go back to acting in keeping with its nature. Clothing itself in the delusion of pupilship, it will then reven to acting out of a purely speculative element, armed with the brilliant faculties of the human animal. Entering the school of the Rosy Cross in this way, however, will not lead to a solution. The bitter cup of suffering will be placed yet again before you, filled right up to the brim. The astral influences will keep on flowing into you, the senses will be continually activated, and your life's course, with all its experiences, will remain exactly as it was for yourself, your parents, and ancestors who gave you your karma. A solution will never come in this way. The human animal was a metaphysical speculator before, and in the school he still is. In the long run, the school will give no satisfaction, and the result is easy to predict. You will begin to complain about the school and to find fault with it. You will become full of criticism, and you will go on speculating. These securities haven't yielded sufficient profit. Let's try different ones. So a different course is followed, or another pastime sought. Poor, foolish human animal. For when your perception undergoes astral influences in the material body, a thought is born and takes shape in the consciousness, and the way you respond is in keeping with your nature and disposition. You drink in the astral influences and you have to react to them. When your mental and sensory organism is charged with certain astral influences during the night, you have to respond. It is all very well to say, "I do not," but you have to. You couldn't possibly do otherwise. Just as fish live in water and are unable to move on dry land, so a human animal cannot lead a Gnostic life. What if you are also affected by Gnostic astral influences? Well, then your behavior will be dichotomous. On the one side, there will be an orientation towards the Gnosis, and on the other, the behavior of the ordinary human animal. Does that make sense? The person who is like that deceives both himself and the Gnosis without being aware of it, and alas, without being able to do otherwise. That is why we do not mean to be reproachful when we say all this, but only to state facts, for it has a certain value to face up to reality, divested of all the frills, and to ask oneself, what is my reality? And now Hermes says in the 9th verse of our text, the mentality brings forth all thought images, good images, when it has received the seeds from God, unholy images when they have originated from one of the demons. For there is no place in the world where there are no demons. We know how accurate this is. The seven chambers of the head sanctuary are charged during sleep, as are those of the heart. Astral values and forces develop which, in the pupil's case, are of a Gnostic calling nature. They are good values and forces, but there are others too of an entirely different nature, the demonic.
In this way, pupils, or at least many of them, follow their path through life, a path which is wearisome in the extreme. We would like to look more closely at this path, and when we do, we will inevitably hear yet again the death cry, the cry of distress of the oppressed human animal. To illustrate this point, we would like to quote the hermetic cry of Paul in Romans 7. So I find this law within me, when I would do good, evil is present with me. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?